Welcome to Couch Buddies. I'm Kia.
I'm Michelle.
And we're covering a movie today.
Your choice.
I was just about to ask, how much do you hate me for this movie?
Hate is a strong word. I don't hate you. I couldn't hate you.
We are covering a movie that it's called If the Shoe Fits.
Yeah, If the Shoe Fits is a 1990 film starring Rob Lowe and Jennifer Grey and a lot of French people whose names I'm not even going to attempt. Mm-hmm. It was directed by Tom Clegg, who has done a lot of directing. Mostly he directed the Sharps everything with Sean Bean, like Sharps Justice, Sharps
whatever. Right.
Yes, he did all of the Sean Bean Sharps stuff.
Okay.
Like all of it. Mm-hmm. And then it was written by three people, Timothy Prager, Madeline DiMaggio, and Pamela Wallace. Mm-hmm. Timothy Prager was the one who did the screenplay for this movie.
It was based on their screenplay.
Based on the girl's screenplay. Timothy Prager would be best known for BBC's Robin Hood. Uh-huh. He wrote for that. Now, the two ladies, on the other hand, this is where we get fun. Madeline DiMaggio wrote for things like Fantasy Island, Starsky and Hutch, Heart to Heart, like classic 70s mystery shows.
Right.
And then Pamela Wallace wrote a movie we have already covered. Borrowed Hearts. And Witness and Serpico.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to talk about some crazy, like, I read her thing and went, huh? Witness, I'm talking about the Harrison Ford movie.
This is a movie.
But it just surprised me that like, the caliber of writers.
Yeah,
like,
the pedigree. Yeah.
The weird, and the weirdly, like, not at all related to what this movie is. At all. I was like, because like looking through their movies, like I try to pick out like the ones that we will know or the ones that the audience might be aware of. So yeah, the Serpico, Witness, and Borrowed Hearts. And I went, wait, what? You wrote, okay. That is a lot to take in right there.
If you've never heard of this movie, which I would be very surprised if anybody had, it's a modern Cinderella, modern for the 90s.
Yeah.
Retelling of Cinderella in Paris. And Rob Lowe stars as a high-end fashion designer and Jennifer Grey as his dressing room assistant in this charming take on Cinderella.
It has an IMDb rating of 5.5 out of 10. There is no Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. So I have to explain, and it's because...
Justifications.
Yes. I'm laying out my qualifiers for this. It's... Having to defend like my justifications, it reminded me of in our one of our English professors who taught like she taught fiction and poetry and nonfiction and everything like our writing classes and like her rule like at the start of the semester was like when you read like if you're reading something in class you get one qualifier before reading it, and that's why I'm like, okay, what is my one qualifier here? Before I explain, this is a movie, and I realized when I was looking this up on IMDb was that I did not realize it was a made for TV movie.
Oh, that I did not realize that either.
Yeah. Which it makes a whole lot more sense now.
Yes.
And the fact that it's just under 90 minutes.
Yes.
Like makes so much more sense.
Yes.
It was a made for TV movie. I do not remember how old I was when I saw this movie because I was born in 84. So I was about 6 when this movie came out.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what channel I saw it on. I can't tell you like if I watched it with my parents or what, but I remember like being home in the summer and you remember this because you're like, you also had, like, the big, like, giant satellite dish, didn't you?
No, but I knew people that did.
Okay, well, because the whole thing, we had like, the giant one out in the yard. And you had East Coast and West Coast channels.
We did have that, even with the smaller one.
Yes, okay. And so, you could, like, basically there was, like, with HBO and all of those, like, all of those channels, there was, you know, there was the East Coast channel, and then there was the West Coast channel. And so, like, you could watch a movie... And like, it'd finish, and then, like, an hour later, it would start again on this, like, on the same channel. Like,
on the next channel. Yeah.
Because it was, like, you had channel, like, 356E and channel, like, 356W.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
Disney Channel had that up until just, I mean, within the last 11 or 12 years.
Right. And yeah. So there, like, there were summers of my life where I watched many movies several times a day for this reason. And it's because you know how it is, like, mm-hmm. with, particularly with movie channels, there will be, like, one thing that you want to watch, and then, like, 8 hours of nothing you have any interest in.
Yes.
And so when you have that opportunity of, like, oh, I really liked this movie, and, like, and also for those reasons, like, if you let, like, you'd have time to watch a movie and decide if you liked it, and then go grab a blank tape to pop in the VCR to record it on the other channel.
See, we never had the movie channels. We would get, like, the free weekends.
Yes.
So, on the free weekends, you're like, oh, this one is in the middle as the free weekend starts. Thank goodness we can go and like, oh, wait, I want to see this one too, but I'm recording one. Oh, good. It comes on again later on the list. Yeah.
But,
and yes, grab that videotape, pop it in the VCR.
Exactly.
That's how I had Miss Congeniality. That's how I had lots of movies.
Oh, yes. We're never going to talk about it on this podcast, but I know you've seen it. That's how, like, I had a copy of the movie Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
Not the Sabrina Carpenter movie.
There was one before.
Yeah, there was one with Elizabeth Shue and Anthony Rapp.
Yeah.
And Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yep.
I always forget that he's Thor.
Yep.
Anyway. Sorry, my brain just spun off into a whole load of Marvel stuff. Anyway, but this is a movie, if the shoe fits, it is one I saw it so many times, for the reasons of, like, it just being on some movie channel or some channel somewhere, I don't know, but, like, I watched it probably, like, at least a dozen times when I was a kid. And, you know, full disclosure, when I was probably, like, 4 or 5 years old, like, I developed, like, the biggest crush on Patrick Swayze. And so I watched the movie Dirty Dancing, like, religiously. Like, it was on mm-hmm. all the time. And so because of that, I also completely fell in love with Jennifer Grey.
Understandable.
And she was the reason that I would watch this movie. I would watch If the Shoe Fits.
And she's so Jennifer Grey in this movie.
She is.
Like, it's Baby Houseman as a fashion designer. A little bit. At the beginning.
Because she, like, her... Because this was 3 years. Mm-hmm. This was 3 years after Dirty Dancing.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And Rob Lowe, for him, this was, it was a few years after, like, St. Elmo's Fire. It was definitely, like, 7 years after, like, The Outsiders, which was kind
something
of
like a
breakout. Yeah.
Yeah. So they are at that point, well-known movie actors to be on a TV movie.
Yeah, which, the fact that it was a TV movie, is like, it put many things in perspective.
Also explains why nobody else that I know is in this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was like, I don't know who any of these people are. I feel like I'm supposed to, and I have no idea.
But going back and rewatching it, in some aspects, it is way, way worse than I remember. This movie, okay, I'll put it this way. This movie is garbage, but I don't hate it.
I understand that feeling.
Yes.
There is a charm to this movie.
Yes.
There are some things I wish had, like, if you just twisted them differently, I think I would enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all. Like, if Rob Lowe wasn't such a completely wasteful person at the beginning of the movie, like, he's a waste of space human being at the very beginning.
Oh, he absolutely is.
It takes a long time.
A very long time, like, for him to become...
The last 40 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. It takes a little while for him to become a worthwhile human being.
Yes.
And I have problems with his acting choices in the beginning.
They're so strange.
It's so fucking weird.
It's so odd. Like, I don't know.
He, like, at one point, like, he's... It's not that he's over-enunciating. It's like he's weirdly enunciating shit and, like, putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable kind of thing.
I felt like it was because he's supposed to be this, like... fake posh, like almost like he is so above everything that he speaks in this manner, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's just like,
yeah, I'm with you. It's weird.
I can't even put into word. Like, I have several notes of what the fuck is this enunciation, well, Rob Lowe.
And I'm sorry, Rob Lowe is playing Francesco Salvatore.
I know.
Which, by the way, first thing I wrote down was Salvatore. Is this how Damon and Stefan actually get their money? Because that would would make sense to me.
Like, that would make sense. The spelling's different.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's an A and an I. But that was my, like, because I was watching a thing on YouTube with somebody watching Vampire Diaries on, so my first thought was, ah, this is what Stefan and Damon really do.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
But yeah, it just, for...
And I will throw out there and be fair and say, I like I said, I did find aspects of this movie really charming. Mm-hmm. I have liked Rob Lowe for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. So getting to watch him... Because, like, West Wing Rob Lowe is my Rob Lowe.
Yes.
And then current Rob Lowe I like a lot, too. Not in the same way. Current Rob Lowe is a dad. Like, I love him, but not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
In that way. But West Wing Rob Lowe, yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Like, having, because the most recent, the thing that I have watched most recently with Rob Lowe in it has been, like, rewatching The West Wing.
Yeah.
And The West Wing is a show that, like, with no problem, like, if I just need background noise for something, mm-hmm. and, like, something, like, I don't want to have to think about or pay a whole lot of attention to, I'll turn on, like, select episodes of mm-hmm. The West Wing. And and so that, you know, that is what I have seen him in the most, yes. and most recently. And watching this, there were definitely moments that I'm like, oh, honey, you glowed up yeah. by the time you yeah. got to the West Wing.
He looks like an infant in this for big portions. And, like, yeah, there's a weird makeup choices on that they do for him because he's a fashion designer. Oh, my God, the outfit at the beginning made me want to throw my head out the door. Like, I almost texted you and went, I'm not watching this movie. Like, the first 10 minutes of this movie, I was sitting there like, I'm going to pick something god awful. She won't want, like, I'm going to pick something awful to make up for this at some point in our friendship.
Because, to be fair, I didn't remember it being this quality.
It got better.
It did get better.
I will definitely say it got better. Like, Jennifer Grey, once she finally got to have, you know, lines, it got better.
Yes.
Once we got away from the fashion choices, it got better.
Which, like, okay, you and I both have recently been rewatching A Different World, which is set in the late 80s and early 90s.
Yes.
And there are some strange fashion choices.
Yes.
And so I was trying to be a little lenient with this movie for some of those reasons.
You can't see the look I'm giving her, but I'm giving her a look.
Oh, listeners.
Over the glasses. Yes. Over the top of the glasses look. Anyway,
yes.
Go ahead.
So, like, I was trying to be a little lenient, but by the time it got through the opening credits and to the end of the fashion show, I was like, I wanted to, like, stab my own eyes with a red hot poker.
Like, bad, like,
even for 1990, these are bad.
But it's supposed to be.
It is.
But you don't know that when you start watching it. Like, so you're sitting there going, oh, dear Lord, what is, especially, like, sitting here now in our, you know,
in 2019,
in our 2019
yeah.
and stuff, like, sitting here with that brain, it's like, wow, is that really what people wore? And then you find out, no, this design does not go well at all.
Suddenly
everything sounds better. I'm like, okay.
Whew. Yeah, it's.
I feel like you saved me.
Yeah, like,
but
you
his shirt, just, I have to for a second, because I wrote it down. It's black, sleeveless, kind of see-through, glowy, with, like, baubles on it, like all over it.
I literally have the note, what the fuck is that shirt?
It's so, and it glitters. It's so bad. I wanted to poke my eyes out.
Like, he goes sleeveless quite a bit at the beginning.
I don't have a problem with that. That's not that he's an attractive man. That's whatever. But that particular shirt, just, it's so bad. To be fair, I think most of the costumes in this movie are not great.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And, like, for example, later at the quote-unquote ball, he's in that thing to resemble being a prince.
Uh-huh.
It's ill-fitting.
Yeah.
It's too big for him.
It's too big.
It's like, it's swallowing him.
To be fair, in the early 90s, baggy was de rigueur.
But this isn't baggy. This is just ill-fitted. He's not a youth running down the street, Kia. Anyway, sorry.
Thank you for the Miranda reference.
But, you know, like, it's just, it felt like so much of this was just, like, weird.
Yeah, it does really feel that, like, most of the costuming in this movie was, like, off the rack from somewhere.
I do like the dress, one of the dresses that she does later. Like, I do like one of those.
I do too.
So we meet Kelly,
Yes.
Kelly, what was her last name?
Kelly Carter.
Kelly Carter, right. So we meet her, and she's helping dress models. He doesn't know who she is. So when I first read the synopsis, I was like, so, like, she's his assistant? He already knows who she is?
No.
She's, like, a nobody that just dresses the models before they go out on the stage, yeah. Essentially. So
she's the one who, like, helps them into their shoes and, you know, like, zip up their dresses. And
she and her best friend...
Veronique. Whose name we don't learn until, like, 40 minutes into this movie.
Don't have it anywhere in the notes.
It's... Like, I had to, like, write it down at the top of my notes so that I would remember it. But, yeah, her friend's name is Veronique.
I had to look up Kelly's because I wanted to make sure I got it down early. Yeah. But, she's invisible to him. The only time he sees her is when she actually stops him from being hit with a
rolling rack.
Rolling rack of dresses.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then she goes home. She has an interview with him in the morning. And you see that she is a shoe designer.
Yes.
Okay. Her shoe designs look like PS I Love You's, which is hilarious.
A little bit.
Due to the time difference in these
movies.
Yes.
I will agree to that.
I was like, that looks a lot like one that she doesn't... Wow.
Maybe it's a throwback and we didn't know it.
Maybe. It's a reference.
It's a reference.
They're referencing a made-for-TV movie in the 90s. Anyway.
But, yeah.
And the Cinderella stuff starts because she has two evil roommates.
Yeah.
And she has to clean up after them. And they're really ugly and horrible to her.
Yes.
Both on the inside and the outside.
And they're really ugly and horrible to each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's very Anastasia Gisella.
Yeah. Very.
And then you're getting these... Well, she's getting ready to go the next day. Or she has that dream. The dream is hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. Hold on.
Also, he's a pig, but...
Yes, I was gonna say...
That was my note
for him. Before the dream, we have the moment where, like, I kind of did a facepalm.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, this after, like, this whole fashion show he's had, and he's mm-hmm. kind of been, like, you know, riding high, thinking, like, it's been a smashing success. And so he's just kind of, like, taking it easy, and, like, he's just in, you know...
He's reading a book.
Yeah, he's reading a book, and he's just kind of laid back in, you know, this robe, and this woman comes in, and we see her just, like, drop the robe, yep. And, like, she's naked, just completely naked, and he just kind of gives her this very blasé look and tells her, oh, I have the line here. Oh, he tells her, like, I'm too busy for a long-term relationship, and she just goes, and she tells him, we just met yesterday. I know this is exactly what I mean. And it's just like, oh my God.
And she storms out.
Yeah. Yeah. And the naked lady leaves.
And then Kelly dreams of him. And like, it's like, you love my designs? Yes. Champagne? Dancing? And they've been dancing. He goes, how many children do you want to have?
And then two to start.
Yeah. And then everybody starts laughing and the dream turns into a nightmare.
Yeah. And like everybody starts mocking her.
And she wakes up, she's running late. And then we start, as she's getting ready, we start cutting back and forth to what I called Crazy Fairy Tale Angel, Fairy Godmother Angel Lady.
I called her the Wild Woman for a while.
Well, she references Uncle Clarence, so I assume Angel. Because she references Uncle Clarence.
Because of It's a Wonderful Life. Sure.
That is my assumption, is that she's some kind of weird angel.
Yeah.
Who's just like, and she is just all over the place, crazy, almost bag lady style.
Little bit, like she... But because it's she's a bit of a bag lady, but because this is Paris, it's very, she's very fashionable.
Yeah, she's a fashionable bag lady. Yeah. She's lost and no one will help her.
Yeah. She's constantly like holding up a map, you know, excuse me, can you tell me how to get to here? And like all these people are just completely bypassing her.
So eventually like montage-y and too long of a montage.
Agreed.
You didn't need to be cutting back and forth to Crazy Lady as often as they did. I didn't understand
that. Agreed.
But anyway, so finally Kelly is ready and is rushing out of the room with her portfolio under her arm, and she is rushing to her meeting.
And the shoes.
And the shoes that she's designed.
Yeah, she has a pair of shoes, which the night before she was very lovingly and carefully stowing, like, in a box.
I'm just going to say it. They pay less shoes. I'm just going to say it. It's out there.
Yeah.
Those are not shoes she made.
They're not that great.
They're not ones she made in her little apartment.
No.
Like, I was like, because once again, PS I Love You popped into my head. You see what homemade shoes look like on PS I Love You. This is not homemade.
No.
But anyway, so she's waiting by the, you know, the corner, and this poor lost lady, she takes pity on her. She starts not to. Like, she doesn't want to.
It's like, oh, I'm running late. Like, I don't have time for this. But...
Also, I want to appreciate the irony of the American stopping to help someone in another country. That's funny. Anyway, say it as an American. But yeah, so she helps her, like, points out, she's like, your map is upside down, and, like, she points her in the right direction, and then the woman almost runs in front of a bus, and so she saves her life, and... So
Kelly literally, like, she drops her portfolio, her shoes, like, everything to, like, take off after this woman.
Because she's about to get hit by a car.
Because she's about to get hit, and she pulls her out of traffic, and then goes back to pick up her things, and everything is drenched, and...
The shoes are broken. And so she's drenched now because she's, like, having to dig this out of the water. Mm-hmm. And the lady goes on her way, and as they're leaving, the woman says, I wish there was some way I could thank you.
Yeah.
And just as the girl gets out of sight, and I was like, ah, I see. Uh-huh. Yes. As if I didn't already know you're the fairy godmother. Now I know you're the fairy godmother. And then Salvatore, very full of himself, finds out his...
Hold on. Just to give an example of just exactly how full of himself he is, to thank everybody for all of, like, their dedication and hard work of getting this line, which he just knows is going to be so successful, he is giving everybody an autographed picture of himself.
Yep.
So that is the character we are dealing with at the start of this movie.
Yeah. And to be fair, all he has around him is sycophants.
Sycophants and yes men.
Yeah. Everyone just tells him, oh, you're so wonderful. Yes, the line's amazing. Uh-huh. And then they come in to read the reviews, and the reviews are not good. And you know at the beginning of the movie that the line's not good because you hear Veronique.
Well, yeah, because it's...
And Kelly talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly says, you know, I think he might have lost his touch, and Veronique goes, or his mind.
Yeah, so... So you know that those two are very well, like, everyone is well aware this is not a good line except for him, basically. So he finds out that everything's bad, and he...
Yeah, so some of the bad reviews say, you know, everyone hates the collection, the image of Salvatore is stale, and sales are down, is what you find out.
And so he has, like, a big meeting and begins firing everyone.
Yes, and decides
including his quote-unquote muse.
Yes, his muse gets kicked to the curb. And he says, he just kind of makes the broad statement of, like, that he wants a new look, a new image, a new face for Salvatore, and tells everybody, you know, scour the city, bring me every beautiful girl you can find.
And Kelly was late to the interview, and because of the craziness of everything, does not get her interview.
Yeah.
So she goes and sits by the Seine, I think.
Yeah, by the Seine.
And she's sitting there, and crazy lady walks back up and talks to her. And magically, the shoes get fixed as they're talking. And the woman goes to put the shoes on. I love the moment where Kelly compares the shoes, and they are nowhere near the same in size.
It's basically the different, because the woman puts on the shoe and goes, oh, look, it's even in my size.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's even in my size. And Kelly picks up the other shoe, and then the shoe that this woman took off, and, like, she holds the bottoms, like, the soles up together, and it's, like, the difference between, like, holding up a size 7 and a size 10.
Yeah, it's pretty big difference.
Pretty drastic difference.
So, they're special shoes, though.
Yes.
And they're now fixed, which has just left Kelly, like, what? These were broken. I know these were broken.
Yeah, she says several times, like, these shoes were broken.
And that's when she also refers to the Uncle Clarence. My Uncle Clarence always says, da-da-da-da.
Uncle Clarence also used to say, with wings on your feet, your dreams can come true. So here we have her roommates. They want to be Salvatore's new image and think that she can get them an in, and when they find out she can't, they're pissed. I love what Veronique tells her a little bit later, because Veronique keeps pushing her of, like, mm-hmm. you know, you have this opportunity, you're here, like, you're in the same room with him, just, like, approach him and, like, tell him who you are, what you want to do, and, like, show him your work. And what Veronique says is, you've got to be more aggressive, stand up for yourself, stop taking shit, and give some back.
Yeah. And that's not really the Kelly way right now.
It's not. Not at the moment.
So, but there is this really great moment between them. Because, like, Kelly and Veronique are brought in to help dress the models he's going to be looking at that day to find the new face.
He's beginning his search for the new face. Yeah.
They're all too polished, too fake, too, it's nothing, not what he wants.
It's everything looks alike, it's all plastic, it's all forced.
When he says, at one point he says, I want something more than pretty.
Yes.
And, but he winds up having this, like, cause they're cleaning up essentially. Yeah. Like she's left in the room. Veronique goes out and he is just sitting there like despondent. And they both go to pick something up at the same time.
Yeah.
And it morphs into him, like, not seeing her, but talking to her.
Yeah.
And she clearly has a crush on him based on the way she looks at him.
Yeah.
And Veronique calls her on it. She's like, you have a little thing for him. Okay, a big thing.
Yeah.
Like, clearly there's something, but she doesn't really say anything because she's like, because she's terrified of him in some ways. Because she just watched him rip apart all the most beautiful, she says in the thing.
Yeah.
I just watched him rip apart all the most beautiful women in Paris. No, of course yeah. I'm terrified of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he has this whole conversation with her. And then kind of walks out. As he's about to walk out, she's like, my name is Kate. Because her friend forces her to.
Yeah.
My name is Kate. Da, 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 da.
Kelly.
And he's like, that's nice. And just walks out the door.
Yeah.
Because she just
very, just very dismissive.
Well, she also kind of biffs it. She doesn't explain.
Oh, yeah.
Why.
She totally beefs it. Yeah.
But yeah, so then.
From here, like, Veronique tries to, like, give her a little bit of a makeover yeah. and to kind of give her some self-confidence
yeah.
and I do kind of look like, cause they go and like, they get her like an outfit and like they go to a bar and Veronique is telling her, to kind of like make these expressions to draw people in because she's very closed mm-hmm. off and kind of when everything crashes and burns.
I was going to say, because keep in mind for you, like, this is an off thing, I may uh-huh. not leave it in, but I was watching the British show Miranda, in between, like, I watched that before this,
yeah.
and there's so many times where she's awkward in a bar, that I just immediately, like, flash to that moment, to those moments.
Just waiting for her pants to fall down?
I just sub Miranda Hart into this scene, because, like,
yeah,
the weird faces are very much something that would happen in that show.
Very anyway, much.
That was for you as much as anything else.
I greatly appreciate
that.
Because,
yeah, she weirds a guy out at the bar, and then
yeah,
the guy comes in. Yeah.
Everything kind of crashes and burns, and
yeah.
and Kelly just kind of, like, gets up and leaves, and Veronique comes after her, and you know, Veronique, like, she's just still trying to, like, get this point across of, like, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and, you know, like, you need to find you somebody, and to which Kelly tells her, she's like, I don't need men to feel good about myself, like, I feel fine about myself as I am. And, you know, except for the fact that, you know, that this dress is, like, choking the life out of me.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's like, you know, but except for that, like, I couldn't be happier. Which she says with, like, a tear in her voice and, like, turns and runs off.
Yeah.
So it's like she's putting on a bit of a front. Like, she's trying to come across somebody who has it all together and is happy, but isn't quite.
Also, while this is happening, creepy angel lady is creeping. Because she creeps throughout this whole movie.
I kind of love it a little bit.
It's so strange, but I'm with you. Yeah, it's
because what it is,
weird.
Yeah, is that the fairy godmother, basically what it is, like, she kind of, like, disguises herself, like,
as different people.
When Veronique and Kelly go into the shop to look, like, Kelly's making her get a new clothes.
Yeah, to make her.
The fairy godmother is the mannequin in the window that somebody is dusting off. And then later she's a street sweeper while Kelly and Veronique are walking through.
Yeah.
It's
such a strange.
And then, yeah. And later when she, when Kelly goes to the ball or whatever, she's the
cab driver.
Yeah, she's the taxi driver.
Of the bright orange taxi that is so supposed to be, like, pumpkin.
Yeah, it's an orange Volkswagen taxi is what it is.
Anyway, I just think that is a really, like, random, funny... It's such a 90s TV movie move.
It is, but we're kind of going off into a little bit of a tangent about this, but that's totally fine. Because I have to say, I legitimately loved it.
Yeah.
And it's because in every version of like Cinderella, you know, be it, you know, Ella Enchanted or, you know, or like the Disney Cinderella or whatever, mm-hmm. like the fairy godmother kind of pops in for like a few minutes and that's it.
Yeah. She pops into Deus Ex Machina at the moment and then moves on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like it's like we have Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo and then we never see her again.
Mm-hmm.
I love that in this movie, like, the fairy godmother, like, has actual interactions with Kelly, like, beforehand, and then continues to watch from the sidelines.
And watch over her,
yeah. And watch over her. I love that so much about this movie. This movie may be garbage, but like I said, there are some things that I really love
There's a charm to it. Like, the beginning I don't love, and like I said, I'll get to the other stuff I don't love kind of at the end. But like, so yeah, you have this moment, and then the next day, you have Francesco having a meltdown. He is cowering under his desk,
yes,
curled up into a ball, and he is going to shut down the house of Salvatore. It's over. Have nothing. I am nothing.
Yeah, just shut it all down, burn it to the ground, where we're done.
And then he's laying on the ground, and there's a knock on, like, laying on the floor in his foyer, whatever, yeah. I'm tired. And he's laying on the ground down there, and there's a knock on the door, and there's a second knock on the door. It's a good thing, because she doesn't usually knock twice. I loved that. But yeah, he opens the door, and there's crazy lady. Crazy
angel lady. There's fairy godmother.
Crazy angel fairy godmother lady. And she essentially gives him the idea to throw a ball.
She starts, like, using, like, the same shtick of, you know, oh, this isn't Versailles? And he's like, your map is upside down. And goes through this whole thing with him, and, you know, and then she kind of, like, barges in a few steps into his house. It's like, oh, this house is so big. You could have a huge party here. And like, before she leaves, she tells him, when you're looking for something, it can be staring you in the face, and you sometimes have to find different ways of seeing it.
Yeah. And so she leaves, and he immediately is like, we're going to throw a party. That way I can see all of these people in a natural setting, and I can see them, like, give life to my work.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. Like, his whole thing about, it needs to be alive.
Yes.
Like, who are you, Dr. Frankenstein?
A little bit.
But, so they, the ugly stepsisters, this is the best way, the ugly step roommates, whatever you call it.
The roommates.
Get invitations to the ball. Oh, you didn't get one? Of course you didn't. Like, they're just such little brats. They have to be,
yeah.
But, like, only a miracle can save me. He said that, too. Yeah. I have to say that part. Yeah. Right before she knocks on the door, only a miracle can save me. But so, then Veronique tells her we should crash the party.
Yeah, Veronique tells Kelly, like, we should, like, be my date, you know, be my date, and we'll crash the party. And Kelly's not quite that into it, but Veronique has kind of secreted away a Salvatore
dress.
And is like, here, you know, you, like, wear this. And Kelly's just kind of, well, maybe, I don't know. And kind of hems and haws, but, like, she takes the dress with her.
And Veronique gives up. She's like, okay, fine, whatever.
Fine, you know, do what you want.
And leaves. And then Crazy Lady's there again to once again save the day. Crazy Angel Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically convinces her to go, essentially.
Yeah.
And tells her she should wear those shoes with the dress, because those shoes are very special shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then Kelly, like, we have the montage of Kelly getting ready with the whole party going on and stuff, and him looking increasingly bored as he stands above the proceedings.
Bored.
As he stands above the proceedings, looking out over everyone from the staircase, not speaking to anyone, just staring very weirdly at his guests.
Yes. It's a bit weird.
And then she puts the shoes on in her apartment.
Well, yeah, because what happens is that, you know, she, you know, her hair, like, you know, she does her makeup and everything like that. You know, she puts on the Salvatore dress and, you know, like, her hair and her makeup, like, they're very natural, just very kind of, you know, not, like, really glamorous or anything like that. And she just kind of says, well, I guess this is as good as it gets. And then, you know, she steps into the shoes. And from there, we don't, like,
see her.
Yeah, we don't see her until she gets to the party. But we have, like, we get a couple of hints.
A car crashes.
Yeah, a car crashes because a guy's turned around trying to look at her.
And as she puts her shoe on, the lights flicker, which becomes our signal for magic is happening.
Yes.
Because the lights flicker.
Because this movie had a budget of, like, $11. And
they spent that on Rob Lowe and Jennifer Grey.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets to the ball, and she is,
yeah,
suddenly beautiful. She's Hermione. She slick-eased her hair and wore heavy makeup. That's it. That's all she did.
And did you notice, as in like this, because, but what happens is like it ends up becoming a whole two people, one person kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of and so when she's this person in the shoes, like she's all like elegant and all this and like looks amazing and she's the most beautiful person in the room. And what caught my attention is that when she's Prudence, like when she's this person, her eyes are violet.
I did not notice that.
Yes.
So she turns into Mary Sue.
Kind of.
That makes so much more sense now. She's Mary Sue. Of course she is.
But yeah.
The shoe, I want those shoes. I want to go to be Mary Sue for like an hour. That's what I, that would be great. Just 1 hour.
But yeah, her,
she's Helen of Troy-esque. Like, people stop to stare. The party, the sound dies when she arrives at the party because this beautiful woman has entered. Even Veronique doesn't recognize her.
Yeah, like, Kelly goes, she goes straight up to Veronique and starts talking to her.
Which, okay, so because Veronique doesn't recognize her, I allow for a lot more.
Yes.
But, I mean, it is a little bit Lizzie McGuire, sorry. It is a little bit the Hilary Duff, the Cinderella Story movie.
Yeah.
In that her voice is exactly the same. Her face is not that different.
Yeah.
But no one knows who she is. Like, it just, even her best friend just seems weird. Like, it's like she has a, what's the word? Like some kind of disguise.
Like a glamour.
I was going to think like a glamour disguise self spell on or something. Yeah. and she doesn't even know it.
A hat of disguise, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't even know it. And so yeah, her friend doesn't even recognize her until she spells out who she is.
Yeah.
And then her friend's like, wow, what did you do to yourself? You don't look like you at all. But before really they can get into it, Salvatore sees her.
Yes.
Across the room. He must have this beauty.
Yes.
He must. Because he's Rob Lowe. And so he goes over and immediately whisks her into it, like champagne, dancing, just like her dream.
Yes.
Whisks her into a dance and then basically asks her to be the new face of Salvatore.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is now his muse and inspiration. And I love that they keep trying to get the paperwork done, and she shuts it down.
Yeah, and he's like, no, just get out. I love that once they have, like, a moment alone, he just immediately goes, like, hard into the full court press.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, do you believe in love at first sight? Because I think I do. You know, this whole thing. And just immediately just goes into, sleep with me. I must have you completely. I love you. And she's just like, oh, boy!
And that's where he's like, what's stopping you? And she says, Prudence. And because he's a Dumbo, he thinks that's her name.
I know. It's
like,
great.
I mean, this isn't like Ever After where it's like, the only name to leave you with is Danielle DeBava.
Yeah,
that's the only name to leave you with. No. This is, I'm trying to be prudent and not make out with you because you don't know who I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's now Prudence to him. And of course, she also is like, I'm not sleeping with him because this is weird.
Yeah, so she does what any sensible woman would do. She flees.
Oh, it's midnight. I ordered my cab for this time. I've gotta go. My Uber is waiting.
Although yes. We're
not Uber at the time. And so, of course, she loses the shoe on her way down the steps. But she did tell him the name of her shoe designer because
Kelly Carter.
Good for her to self-promote.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
She's like, I have this opportunity. I am taking it. So yeah, she the next day, like, he comes to find Kelly Carpenter. Not Carpenter.
Carter.
Carter. I don't know why I said Carpenter.
I don't know either.
But Kelly Carter, and she expects him to recognize her immediately. But she doesn't look that way anymore. She looks back to her normal self.
Yeah.
Because she's not wearing the shoes. Yay! So she's like, yeah, Prudence is my friend. Sure, she spent the night. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, so it's, you know, he's basically telling Kelly, and he's like, you know, like, I want to see Prudence, like, you know, get her here, like, I must see her kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just everybody just kind of swans out. And so she goes and, like, talks to Veronique about everything.
Yeah.
And
they retrace her steps to figure it all out.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Veronique is telling her, is like, okay, we have to figure this thing out because, you know, Veronique tells her, you know, when you look like you did last night, you can do anything you want.
The money is going to be too good to pass up. You can literally, like, your career can be
ruling
the world. It can be good for my career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Veronique is a little bit self-serving in this movie.
A little bit.
But understandably so, a little bit. Some of the stuff she does at the very end, I'm a little bit like, what?
sometimes she goes a little too big.
Yeah.
But in this movie, like, there's no time for subtlety.
It's true.
So, this is where I just have shoe magic.
Yeah. They find out that they figure out,
yeah, it's the shoes.
And so her friend is like, well, I'll make myself your personal dresser so I can make sure we have the shoes always with us. Yes. And I'll know how important all of that is. So they go in and they negotiate, and she negotiates herself a job because...
Yeah, during all of this, with Veronique handling the negotiations, like, he's been now Salvatore, like, he's been inspired, you know, like, to come up, like, with this new line, like, this new collection, and I have the line it's like, the line is just "Prudence" by Salvatore, and he says, "I'm covering parts of the body that haven't been covered in years." That line legitimately made me laugh out loud.
That was good.
So Veronique handles the negotiations.
Until it gets to the Kelly part, because Veronique's like, okay, you don't want Kelly, that's fine. And she's like, no Kelly, no me.
Yeah.
And like, so she's like, I want her to design my shoes for me.
Mm-hmm.
I already saw where this was going.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I understand you're a shoe designer, honey, but do you not realize without your shoes, you're in trouble?
Uh-huh. Again, this movie has no time for subtlety.
Yeah. So... He agrees to everything. He will do, like, he finally agrees to, like, let me see her work, and if it's bad, if she's good, she has a job. If she's not, I'm not working with her. And
fair.
And, you know, Prudence, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Kelly is like, that's fair. That's totally fair. If she has no talent, then I understand. So I love that Kelly comes in before she leaves, he's like, sleep with me tonight. And she's like, because that I can do, sleep with me tonight, that I won't do. And she walks out.
Yeah.
Like, he is still going full court press, and she's like, not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So then the interview happens, and Kelly has this newfound confidence.
Yes.
And she is blunt with him and tells him what he needs to fix what he's doing. And eventually he asked her what she thought of his last line, or is it there? I don't remember when it happens.
It's somewhere in here.
But she tells him, she's like, you know, it's dated. It's not, it's 2 years ago. Like,
that's a little bit later.
But yeah, she tells him.
But basically what it is, truth. He's kind of working on, you know, he's working on a sketch for like a winter coat. And she kind of comes over, and I love that she just kind of leans over him and picks up a pencil and kind of adds some little details
and sketches in a shoe.
And then she's like, you know, and I think that, you know, a shoe like this would go great with it. And, you know, and then like he holds up something else and he's like, oh, well, what do you think about the color on this? And he's like, yeah, I'm not a fan. And like, they're having like an actual like conversation.
And he winds up kicking everyone else out because they're like, well, we'll get rid of her for you. And he's like, I'm in the middle of a meeting. Come back later. And, like, when he finally does call somebody in to take her to a desk, the woman thinks that she's going to escort her out. And he's like, no, find her a desk. But, like, the other thing that happens in this moment, in this scene that cracks me up is how close are you in Prudence? We're like sisters. Did she mention me? Like, he wants the hot goss. He's like, I need to know. Unless it was bad, don't tell me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'd almost forgot about that. Cause like, he does ask, you know, like, oh, well, what did Prudence say about me? And she's basically like, it was mostly good.
He's like, well, tell me. And she never does.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Like, I appreciated that she's like, I'm stuck in this really weird situation with this guy, and I'm not going to put myself... No, not going to do it. But so, yeah, they...
We get a little bit of a montage of them kind of working together, and I love... there are just a couple of things in this montage that I love. He just kind of gets... He just gets this like enraptured expression on his face of just like when he's watching her like being like, you know, very like studious and like working hard.
And he's watching Kelly work.
Yeah. When he's watching Kelly work. And then at one point, and he has this habit of like, just kind of swanning around, like, you know, with something to drink and like constantly asking his hangers on, like what time it is. And at one point he comes up to like where she is, like in her drafting board, and like she's sketching and stuff. And like, he stops and she just hands him over a watch with a bow on it.
It's a big smiley face. Yeah. Sheep.
Oh yeah.
Thing, which is why it says so much.
Yes.
He never takes that thing off again.
After that, he is always wearing this watch.
The rest of the movie, he is wearing that damn wristwatch.
Yes.
And that is so,
and
like, that is one of the character things in this movie that beat me in the face. And I went, I like this.
Yes. And then a little bit later, you know, they're, they're, you know, like there's a sketch of a dress
or they're
like,
designing together.
Yeah. Like they're designing together and he has, you know, by like Salvatore, you know, written on the page next to it. And she just kind of gives this head tilt and kind of a smirk and then reaches up and like signs her own name next to it.
Yeah.
And then he kind of mirrors her and does the same thing and goes, you know, it's not so bad. And this is the thing. I was going to wait a little while to bring this up, but I think I'll go ahead and mention it now. Like I was mentioning at the beginning of this, Rob Lowe, I was seriously wondering, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is not how, like, normal human, like, it's like he forgot how to human. It's weird, and it's bad.
When you think about it, it's such a good choice. He's learning to human again. It's just not obvious.
But what I was going to say is, like, there are plenty of times in this movie, it's like, when he is on his own, he slips back into those, like, that I'm just like, dude, the fuck?
Yeah.
Moments. But whenever he is on screen with Jennifer, it's fucking electric.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there is something that just, like, comes out of him, like, when he is working in a scene with her. Like, whether she's playing Prudence or whether she's being Kelly, like, either or, like... Like, it's like he turns it up to 11, and it's just like, okay, in here, I see West Wing Rob Lowe.
I see good actor Rob Lowe.
Yes.
Yeah. And, oh, man, it's just so good. And, like, he goes on a date with Prudence. Or first it's the fitting.
First it's the fitting. He brings in her, and...
So, Kelly is having to run back and forth between being Prudence and being Kelly, and Kelly doesn't like the dress that she's wearing.
Yeah.
And explains it to him. I love that moment where she tells him... That it's last year, 2 years ago.
He asked her like what she thinks, and she goes, "Well, do you want the truth?" And he's like, "Yes, like I want the truth." She goes, "Really?" He goes, "Just tell me." And she says, "You know, I think it's boring. It's pretentious. It's 2 years ago, and it doesn't have anything to do with what I thought this collection was supposed to be about. Basically, I think it stinks."
I kind of liked that dress, but
it was okay.
But it was also hard to move in.
Hard to move in.
And he goes, "Did Prudence tell you it was hard to move in?" And she's like. Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He goes, well, tell her she needs to come to me with her problems. Like, he is so, like...
Yes.
But I also love the fact it's a little 2 weeks noticey how he has come to rely on her.
Yes.
Because no one else will tell him the truth, and he knows it now.
I thought about 2 weeks notice several times during
But in a
movie.
Better... This is going to sound weird. In a slightly healthier way.
Yes.
Because he treats her as an equal from pretty much the beginning. Which is so not expected in this
movie. I know. It really isn't.
That was like a really big positive point for me. But yeah, that night, he's taking Prudence out.
Actually, it's like they're having a night in.
But she thinks they're going on a date.
Yes.
And then she gets in this car with like the roses.
She is sitting in the back seat of this chauffeured like convertible, like classic car convertible.
Yeah.
And on either side of her are like these two massive piles of long stem red roses. There's at least like two dozen roses on each side of her. Like there's a mm-hmm. good, like we got at least like nearly like 50 roses in this car in the back seat with her. And you know, I laughed really hard when he leads her into the dining room where they're going to have this romantic candlelit dinner.
Like, borrowed hearts?
I thought borrowed hearts for a second.
Knowing the writer was a borrowed heart, like one of the writers of the original screenplay was a borrowed hearts writer, did make me go, ha ha ha.
Yeah, but what made me laugh really hard was, he takes her into this massive dining room, and there's this, you know, there's this large table, and they've got seats at either end, but like there's a pianist playing like a full baby grand piano, like in this dining room. And then there's like a wait staff of like six dudes in white tuxes, like, you know, just waiting to be at their beck and call. And so they get seated at the tables, and like, you know, they're poured like wine or champagne or something like that. And they're at the opposite ends of these tables. And there are three candelabras, like crystal candelabras on this table. They literally cannot see each other around these. And they are having to practically lean all the way out of their chairs to like raise a toast. And like, and then like by the end of it is like, she has come and like, you know, they're sitting next to each other. And
I did like the moment right before they went to sit down, like when she walks in and sees, cause they walk in on rose petals and he is,
yes.
And they walk in and she goes, "Are you trying to impress me?" And he like really sheepishly is like, "Yeah, yeah. It worked." Yeah. Like, I'm like, she gives him the props for like, "Okay, I see what you're doing. I'm letting you know I see what you're yes. doing, but also and I approve."
Yeah. I'm letting you know, like, okay, like I appreciate the effort.
Like, thank you. And she's not, it doesn't act like she's above it or anything, which is great, or that it doesn't impress her,
yeah.
which some movies would have done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then, like, I love the moment in the montage, like, the dinner montage, where she plays with the lobster.
She's just playing with the lobster.
She's like, what is going on? I want to know what Jennifer said to Rob.
And he, like, he's genuinely laughing. And, like, yeah. there's a part of me that just wonders, as, like, was this yeah. them just, like, dicking around on set?
I wondered
and, like,
the same.
Like, it just, they like, kept it in the movie.
But then they're in the bedroom, and... Like, they start dancing, and they are then dancing, like, then they're in the bedroom, and they start to kiss, and she is into it.
Oh, yeah.
And
she's giving as good as she's getting.
They fall onto the bed, and her shoe starts to come off.
Her shoe starts to slip off.
Can you imagine, though, making out with somebody, then pulling back, and they have a different face?
Oh, man.
That's terrifying. Like, that's like sci-fi nightmare inducing.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, that happens on an episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
Uh-huh.
So, although it's her dream, but anyway. But it's just, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, no, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I pass, sir. So she yells no and sits up and fixes her shoe.
Yeah, and she, you know, she gets up to, like, to leave, and we have...
She doesn't even get to leave. Well, he immediately says, yeah, okay, I'll wait.
Yeah, he says, okay, I'll wait. And, like, it's a nice, like, 180 from where he was before.
But she's almost offended.
Yeah.
That he didn't try harder.
Yeah, and she's like, what? And he's like, no. He's like, I'll wait. I want to wait.
Waiting will make it better.
Yeah.
Because look at everything we're doing, so waiting will make it better. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that moment where she's like, I'm sorry, what? Like, because she didn't necessarily want to. She just doesn't want to freak him out either.
Right.
So, yeah, I loved that. And then...
From here, we have the photo shoot.
The photo shoot, which he has... You've already seen the part where... Like, there's already a part of the movie where he is specifically... Francesco specifically gone to Kelly and been like, I need you at this photo shoot.
Need you to be at my side.
Yeah, I need you at my side. I need you to see... So... And you're going, oh, well, that's going to be a problem because, you know, Prudence is in the photo shoot. So you got some.
Yes.
And she asks, so she talks to Veronique about what are we going to do about it? And Veronique's like, we got this. No problem. We can do it. We'll make it work. We'll Tim Gunn this.
Yes.
Before Project Runway was a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they try, like, first they try so hard and like, oh man, it's such, like, this whole thing is really good. Like, it's not really good, but it's good. Because, like, you have the comedic, like, he'll yell for Kelly, and so Prince is like, I need to go get a drink of water. I need to do a makeup touch-up.
Yeah.
And Kelly comes out, like, rushedly change clothes
it's,
and everything.
Yeah, it's not quite farcical, but, he's you like, know, it's
and,
close.
He's like, where were you? Oh, I was setting up for the next shoot. Well, I told you I needed you with me. And she's like, well, I was just setting up for the next shoot. I have been here, I promise.
Yeah, it's like, I've been watching what's going on. Yeah.
I just left for a second kind of thing. And then... Prudence, get out here. We need to get back to work. Okay. So she goes in to get Prudence and Prudence comes back out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you have, like, it happens like two or three times. And then finally he's looking for Kelly again and Prudence collapses.
Yeah.
And is done for that. Like, wants to kind of be done for
the
day.
Yeah, she needs a rest.
She needs some time. She needs a little bit of time. And of course he tries to walk into the room and Kelly stops him.
Yeah.
Until she can get in and put the shoes on and climb under the covers.
Yeah.
And
then Italia.
I love when he walks in the room and like the lights flicker as he walks in and he kind of gives us like double take and then shrugs.
Yeah.
And then looks to the thing and he's like, where's Kelly? Did she not just come in here? She just ducked out for a second. And as he turns to talk to Veronica for a second, you see the lights flicker again. And he turns back around and you see the shoes sticking out of the edge of the thing.
Out of the blanket.
And,
yeah.
And Kelly is now leaned over, quote unquote,
Prudence. It's a good fake out.
Yeah, it's a pretty good fake out. And then he walks out and kind of looking up like, what is up with these lights? Like that moment.
Yeah.
Where he's like, what in the world?
Yeah.
I love that. That was just such a subtle, like, little thing.
But we get to the moment like that we discussed, you know, we can see it coming a mile out,
yeah.
Which was he wants to see Prudence, you know, in this winter coat. Like, he wants to see it with the shoes that Kelly designed.
And Veronique only sees one way out of this.
Yes. Veronique tells Kelly, like, you want Salvatore, you get him as Prudence. You want a big career, you get it as Prudence. What does Kelly have to offer?
Yeah.
And Kelly's just like, a lot.
Yeah, because Kelly,
yeah,
he has relied on Kelly in a way he doesn't rely on Prudence. And as you watch the montage and stuff, you've kind of seen that. So, but Veronique says, no, you need to get rid of one of them. You need to choose.
Yeah.
And he needs to choose. I love that she goes out there and is like.
Because Veronique tells you, you're like, well, he has to make a decision. And like.
He's never going to choose you, essentially.
Yeah, he's never going to choose you. And Kelly kind of, she gets a little bit. Not like riled up isn't like the word that I want to use, but she gets a little bit flustered and she's just like, men always make the wrong decisions.
Yep.
And so, yeah, she goes out and she tells, you know, she goes out as Kelly and tells him, says, you know, she won't wear the shoes. And, you know, it just starts explaining to him, like, Prudence isn't going to wear the shoes. Like
she thinks they're awful.
Yeah, she thinks they're awful. Like she's not going to wear them and gives him the ultimatum. Prudence goes or I go, you can't have us both. And it's like he doesn't ever really, like, come out and say, oh, well, I choose Prudence. But, like, he dithers.
And one of his
sycophants, yeah.
Thank you. I cannot speak right now. One of his sycophants comes over and basically says, well, you need to leave then.
Yeah.
And so I love that Kelly walks off and starts to walk off. And she goes, no, come here for a second. And she pulls him over.
Yeah.
You have the what she says.
I took copious notes on this quote. I was pausing it, like, every 3 seconds because I thought it was great. Kelly, like she starts to read Salvatore, the Riot Act. And she tells him, I work with you. I give you support, encouragement. I hold your hand. And now you're telling me to move on. I care about you. I really do. But you don't care about me because you don't care about people. All you care about are appearances, looks, surface. Your whole world is images. You're surrounded by people who lie to you and who believe the same shit that you do. And I know, but I know that you know the difference.
And she storms into the...
Yeah. There was another bit of it. And I forgot. She tells him, she also adds on at the end, like, I know you have a heart, but you're too afraid to use it. And that's what makes you a fraud. Not as a designer, but as a human being.
And she storms off
into the dressing room
and puts the shoes on. And as he comes in, like, he has this moment of panic.
Yeah.
And he's like, Kelly just stormed off. Kelly's gone. Yeah. And chases Kelly into the dressing room.
To find Prudence.
To find Prudence and Veronique. And Veronique's like, yeah, Kelly left. Kelly's gone. And he's like, no, Kelly, what do you mean she's gone? What do you mean?
As Prudence, like, she starts telling him, like, you know, she's holding up these shoes.
Yes.
And she's just like, these are just terrible and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not going to wear these. And just.
And just point blank refuses to wear them.
Just point
blank. Like, divas out.
Yeah, completely divas out.
Also because she's really angry as Kelly. And she's channeling that into this diva.
Yes, and as Prudence, she starts, like, denigrating Kelly.
Yeah.
And his reply is, you know, she's a fine designer and an inspiration to me. You're lucky to have met her. And there's a very important rule you may have forgotten, and that's looks fade, and yours have faded like a bad sunset.
And he is done with Prudence.
Yeah.
And then he goes,
yeah, well,
and she immediately kisses him, which is great. Yeah, she kisses him. Like, and he's like, whoa. Like, and he's not into it.
He's having none of it.
And so...
So he wants to find Kelly.
He pushes her away and turns to Veronique and asks where Kelly is.
Yeah.
And Veronique's kind of like giving Kelly the eye, like, what do I say? So Kelly's like, by the river. Like she mouths, like, yeah, by the river. He's like, she's like, oh, there's a place she goes down by the river. And he's like, okay, and takes off. So Kelly has to, like, take off running, basically. And eventually he does find her by the river.
Yeah.
As he's walking down the stairs, crazy angel lady is there.
Yeah, fairy godmother is
saying
there.
Goodbye. And they're like, how do you get to Budapest?
Yeah.
But then he comes down and we get the kiss.
Yeah.
Him telling her, yeah.
I have that line too. He finds Kelly and he tells her, he's like, come back. Work for me. Because I need you. You're very talented. You've helped me. Like, and I care about you. I don't want to lose you. And there's something about you that's magical.
And there's...
She kisses him.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I was also going to say, there's the other thing with the I need you line. Like, there's a hesitation in there in between some of those lines. Like, I need you. And he hesitates for a second, and she's still looking at him.
Yeah.
And then he says, you've helped me.
This is it. You're very talented, and you've helped me.
And then she looks at him, and just she's not moving at that point. There's no reaction, no response. And it takes a beat.
Yeah.
Before he says, I don't want to lose you.
Yeah.
And it's like, finally, she has drugged this admission out of him.
Yep.
And that's when she kisses him.
Yeah.
And he kisses back, obviously.
Yes.
And she throws the shoes into the river. as they should be. Actually, that wasn't very nice. You should have seen if anybody else needed those shoes. But anyway. I think, and that's where the movie ends.
Yeah, that's the shoebox floating down the river. That's the last shot of the movie.
And I think the one thing that I don't like about this movie is he doesn't realize. Even when he kisses her, he doesn't
realize.
Like, I wanted that to be like, a 2 second, like him pull back and look at her and her kind of like the sheepish shrug even. And then they go back to kissing. I'd be fine with that. But I needed him to know.
You needed a beat of recognition.
I needed him to know, because otherwise the whole fact that she tells him this whole speech earlier on about how she's honest with him is a lie, because she has lied to him since she met him. And granted, it's not a quote unquote bad lie.
Right. It's a lie of omission.
Yeah.
That she is Prudence.
It's a mistaken identity that she's let go too far.
Yeah.
And I just like, I wish that we had that. Like, that to me would have made this movie complete in a way it's not.
Yes. I agree.
Like, I just, cause like, that's a whole thing in other like fantasy type movies. Like, when you kiss someone, you recognize, oh, wait, they were this person.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing that happens.
It's a trope.
It's a trope that happens that I love. That I love. But, like, I just wanted that moment of him to have this recognition of she kisses just like Prudence.
Yeah.
Even just, like, a pullback and, like, a... Because it didn't have to be verbal, like I said. Yeah. Just, like, a, like, narrowing the eye kind of look at her. And then, like, a sheepish shrug. And they kiss some more. And I'd be fine with it. I would have no more issues with it.
Like, there were things about this movie that, like, I remembered a little bit differently, but I definitely didn't remember a lot of the beginning as well, but from, like, once she got to the ball, like, from then on, it was like, oh, yeah, I remember all of this.
And if I had watched this movie when I was, I mean, not when it came out, because I would have only been 4, so that wouldn't have really done much. Watched it in, like, the late 90s, mid to late 90s, I'd have loved this movie, 100%.
It's like, I was watching this movie in probably, like, 96 or so. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, like, because we were doing the thing that we do, and we had, you know, we were scrolling through Amazon Prime, just seeing what movies were available that, like, we might want to watch, and we found The Cutting Edge, which, you know, we just recorded recently.
Yeah.
And when I went to look for it on Amazon so that I could watch it to take notes, like, I was just kind of scrolling through Amazon looking for The Cutting Edge, and I saw this, and I was just like, oh, man, I know this movie is probably shit, but I remember absolutely loving it, and I think we need to do it. And I, watching it again last night, I'm like, oh, my God, Michelle's gonna, like, throw shit at me when I walk in the door.
Okay. Here's something to me, I'm gonna make an admission to you, okay? Okay. There is a movie out there. It is a horrendous movie.
Okay.
It's called The Polar Bear King. It is horrendous.
I have heard of it. I have not seen it.
It is bad. But in my childhood, I fell in love with this horrific movie. Or at least with the first 3/4 of it.
Yeah.
There are parts at the end I don't like. But for the most part, I fell in love with this. It's like a Swedish fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's not good. I rewatched it a few years ago. So I have a lot of, like, forgiveness for, like, childhood remembrances being not what you remembered.
Oh, yeah.
To be said, there's a lot of work this movie needs that I wish it could get remade and done, because I really like the general idea of this movie.
Yes.
And I just wish it had been...
been better executed.
Other than the weird beginning with Rob Lowe. Like, I wish he hadn't been, like, a super... jackass at the beginning, basically.
Yeah. He was just, like, vapid to the point of, like...
It took too long.
Yes.
For him. Like, he stayed that way too long. I think that was my issue. But I love the fact that he fell in love with Kelly and not with Prudence.
Yeah.
And everything. I just, once again, I have a thing about lying.
Yeah.
And I need it to come out. And the fact that it didn't really frustrated me.
Like, realizing that this was, like, a made-for-TV movie, suddenly I was like, okay. Like,
they didn't have 20 more minutes.
It was like, I'm willing to wave the forgiveness wand.
Yeah, and that's another thing, like, because there's another movie we're probably going to do at some point called Prince Charming that has its own made-for-TV issues.
There are some problems with it.
Yeah, but I enjoy it. It's fun. Yeah. And like, I have lots of movies that are guilty pleasure type movies like that. One that you abhor that I love. And the pirate movie. You abhor it. I love it.
I was expecting Puss in Boots.
Oh, no. That's a childhood, like, okay. I watch it with my grandma thing. But no, this is like, I understand why people abhor it. It's not a good thing. I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
And there was something charming about Rob Lowe and Jennifer Grey in this movie.
And yeah, and like I said.
So, I mean, like, I can't hold a lot against it because
yeah.
Rob Lowe and Jennifer Grey make me buy it.
Yeah. And
mostly.
Like I said, mostly. There were scenes that, like, when they were together and, like, some of the looks that he was giving her,
yes.
It was like, this is, like, some A-plus top-notch acting. Like, why can we not, like, I really wondered. I'm like, did you use up all of the acting on these days and there was none to spread around to the others?
Yes.
Like, that's how, like, her performance, Jennifer's performance is consistent through the whole thing. His is like, up, down, blah, blah, blah. It's yeah. just
the. I think the only other
is a little over all over the place.
The only other thing I think with him that I would have wanted to see is it like more like it was very granted. It's maybe TV made for TV, and that's why. But the like suddenness of his like because it wasn't sudden, but the montage. I would have liked to see more scenes in the montage, let me put it that way.
Which montage? There are several.
The designing montage, when they're yes. actually getting to know each other. And
I agree. Because the way that that's filmed, because, like, her outfit does not change.
Yeah, so it's like it all happened in one day.
That's how it looks. His outfit changes.
But he's him. Hers,
yeah, but he's him. So it kind of gives, and, like, to be fair, it's the early 90s, like, she's wearing, you know, she's wearing the grunge, like
yeah.
the, you know, like, the baggy pants, the, you
the
know,
baggy shirt.
Yeah, the baggy pants, like, a baggy flannel over, yeah. like, a plain t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like if, you know.
Not a lot to change.
And tennis shoes. Like, yeah, that, and her glasses. Like, that is all that she wears through this movie, except when she's Prudence.
Well, like, if you want, like, a lighthearted type romp, I think it's a great...
Yeah. If you want to, like, turn off your brain and the, when this... Okay, rewatching it, when it very first started, I thought... I had a moment of thinking, like, okay, this is going to be, like... I was really expecting this to, like, to almost be, like, when you and I would watch Rain. and just
those
like,
dresses are bad though. Just gonna say it again. And I'm talking about both the movie and that show. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, I was almost expecting it to be, you know, like, as I was thinking, like, okay, is this going to be, you know, like us like tearing this down like we do an episode of Rain or just any of like the truly shitty Hallmark movies we've watched together. I was wondering, is that what this is?
It wasn't Summer Catch level bad. I'll say that.
Oh my God. Yeah. That, to be fair, I think in terms of like rom-coms, like, or kind of like what we do for this podcast, I still think How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is the low bar, but like Summer Catch, it dug itself a hole.
It's my lowest score that we've ever given.
It's the lowest score we've ever given, but it's just because it is a terrible movie.
Yeah, and there's not a lot redeeming in it. No, this has redemptive qualities in it.
Yes.
Like, I can see what they were going for. It just didn't quite get there.
It didn't.
Like, land. I would be really interested in the original screenplay.
Yes, so I would I.
I think I would love to see what the original screenplay had.
Yes.
But anyway.
So would I. And this is what, I was like watching this, I'm like, I need like all the fanfic.
Yeah, it's one of the, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I need this so much.
I'm always a fan of like person with assistant kind of things. Anyway,
yeah,
where your assistant is way better. Like that's the thing about 2 weeks' notice. As much as like we gave it some crap for some things that we didn't like,
right?
But there were aspects of it that we really liked because we like that, you know, slow friendship build,
the slow burn. Yeah,
yeah,
no. And so, do you think they stay together?
Oh. Maybe.
Do you care?
I think they have to because the angel lady put them together. So, and if they split, clearly his house will fold. So,
true.
So he will do true. Everything to keep her happy because he needs a muse.
True. So what do you rate this movie?
I don't know. You go first. I am on the fence between two different ratings.
Oh God. Why did you do this to
okay,
me?
I'll go back. I'll come back. I think I want to give it for execution like a 2.5.
Yeah.
But the strength of performance bumps it up, so it's like a soft 3?
That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like
I feel weird giving it a 3 because I've given much better movies a 3.
Yes.
I don't have a good scale. Let's just be honest. I do what I feel in the moment.
Same here. Because I was like, what I was agonizing over was
2.75. There you go.
That's kind of what I was thinking, was that objectively, I don't want to give this movie a 3. So like I said, objectively, I'm thinking, okay, 2.5. 2.5 works.
2.5 is what I think I gave,
I think that's what we gave How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
So I have trouble doing that. Like, if you've ever listened to that episode, like, just assume that we've actually taken it down to a 2 by now. Like,
yeah.
Like, we don't feel that way about it. I liked this movie more than I liked How to Lose a Guy. I can say that.
Wow.
I can say that legitimately. I think.
Wow.
I like Kate Hudson and I like Matthew McConaughey, and the supporting characters in that movie are excellent. But I think there's something charming about this that is missing in that for me.
I will absolutely
agree.
That's
what I'm trying to say.
But yeah, I will also say a soft 3 just because of some points for nostalgia, but also because what you said of that, like at a certain point, like the performances are like really good.
I would probably do 2.5 if it wasn't for the strength of Jennifer's performances and the end strength of Rob Lowe's performances.
Yes.
The way he looks at her when she gives him that ultimatum and the way he dithers, it's understandable. He's built a whole line around this woman.
Yes.
How can he fire her? But, and then that moment, like the conversation that she has with him where she tells him that he's a fraud and the look on his face, those moments are good. And that montage of designing is, I mean, I wish the movie had been that montage of designing.
Yes, there's a lot.
Like, I could do without the Cinderella aspect of this movie and just have it be
agreed.
This girl who comes in and is unafraid and passionate because she knows what she wants.
Yes.
Like, have Prudence be a real person. And
sure.
Like, instead of be her, like, that would have even worked.
Yeah.
But that's just...
I definitely started out like, oh god, this is gonna be so bad.
First 15 minutes I started to text you and be like, don't come over today, I can't do this. I was like, I can't.
I'm not gonna lie, I was expecting a text at some point today that just said friendship over.
No, so, there's too many bad movies I still have to make you watch before that happens.
It's like, I will be waiting for my comeuppance, but do you have anything else to add, Dolly?
That's it for me.
All right, there's nothing else for me either, so that will get it for this episode of Couch Buddies. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye!
If you enjoyed this episode of Couch Buddies, why not leave us a rating and review over on iTunes? And while you're at it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us by searching on social media. We're Couch Buddies Pod on Twitter, on Tumblr at couchbuddies.tumblr.com, and you can email us at couchbuddiespod@gmail.com.